93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. TJ Show, Latte, Jeremy Warner. Who do you hate? No, wait, we're off that topic for a minute, right?
There's a lot of hatred in Champaign, man.
Isn't it great,
phone
though?
Phone lines just went nuts. We had to hold off Megan Montemurro for a while.
Well, she's here now, though.
Yep,
Megan, who do you dislike, Megan? Who is it?
Am I choosing between the two of you? Or
no. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
I'm going to lose that battle. No, what team do you dislike out there? Anybody? Is there any team you just can't stand?
I don't really hate any teams. They're the Heat. That's the team that bothers me.
You're with me, Megan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. She covers both the Cubs and White Sox. And Lon was joking on the air earlier. He said he was going to ask you, list off the Cubs roster, because it seems like all of them are hurt anyway. So it's like, it seems like a new team we got there on the north side.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Just the number of injuries and how really you can't even almost recognize the team that's on the field lately. And it's certainly had an impact on, you know, just how they've gone out and performed.
Well, Megan, let me ask you this, though. For Cub fans that are tired of seeing the Sorianos and this kind of play the last couple of years, is this almost a relief? Now, I mean, you get to see some of these young guys and kind of see what you have for the future, right?
Yeah, I think it's nice just to even give some guys some big league experience, because, I mean, as you saw last year, Darwin Barney was a late season call up, and I mean, look at what he's done this year so far. And it's always nice to kind of get some fresh blood and mix that in with, you know, some of the older veterans that are on the team. And, you know, a guy like Tony Campana is really kind of, you know, showed off what he's all about, you know, with his hustle and his speed. And it's been kind of a nice change, though obviously it hasn't really led to wins at this point.
Speaking of blood, Aramis Ramirez taken off the field yesterday with that nasty hit to the face. Is he going to be back anytime soon, Megan?
Yeah, it just sounds like he got stitches, and it doesn't sound like he's going to miss any time, which is a good thing since they already have five guys on the 15-day disabled list. So, yeah, I'm not sure whether or not if he will play tomorrow. It helps that they had a day off today. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm guessing Quadi will probably want to play him if he's able to.
Talking with Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. You can read her stuff at nwherald.com. She covers both the Cubs and White Sox. The Cubs are a team in limbo. I mean, not just with these injuries, but just this mix of veterans, now this mix of young guys. What is this team?
Quadi wants to know the same thing. I mean, he admitted that it's hard to judge, you know, what this team is at this point when you've had so many changes. You really haven't had your true starting rotation since the first week of the season, and they probably aren't going to have all their guys back until, you know, maybe mid-July.
Right.
So it's really hard. I mean, Quadi admitted he's frustrated, you know, with the fact that, you know, they've had to deal with all of this, especially, I mean, they had one streak, I think it was as of Tuesday, at one point they had 15 roster moves in 5 days. And, I mean, when you have something like that, no matter how talented the team could potentially be, it's going to be hard to get some kind of rhythm and flow, even if you're playing lesser opponents like the Cubs did this week on the homestand.
Megan Montemurro, I've got to stick out. I'm representing the Cubs fans right now. I know there's injuries. I know there's all that. But there's so much disappointment right now at Wrigley Field. They can't win at Wrigley, number one. When does Jim Henry become accountable for this?
It's hard to say. I mean, you're getting a glimpse at these young guys that he was a part of, you know, finding and, you know, signing to the team. So, I mean, if you want to get mad at him for, I guess, you know, a guy like Soriano, go ahead. But, you know, when he was signed, everyone wanted the big name,
sure,
you know. And it's kind of unfortunate how it's turned out since then. But if you look back on that, that's what everyone wanted. Everyone was for it. Everyone was like, yes, we finally got a big guy, big name guy to come to the Cubs.
Good point.
You know, so, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. And, you know, it is hard to judge because he has found some good young talent. I mean, you have Castro.
Mm-hmm.
I'd even contend Soto. I mean, he's battled some injuries, but, I mean, he's come up through the farm.
Sure.
Darwin Barney, other guys, too. So it's really difficult. You know, you want to be critical, you know, to certain signings, but for the most part, I mean, you know, at some point it has to be on the players to get the job done.
Megan, do you think that the trading block is going to heat up, or and do you think anybody would want a Ryan Dempster, Carlos Zambrano, Alfonso Soriano? I think they'd be dreaming for Cubs fans. But Kosuke Fukudome, do you think those guys have any trade value out there?
I think it's going to be very difficult. I mean, I could see wanting to move Soriano. That would be the best situation. But, I mean, really, you might as well not even look at the rest of the National League, because no one's going to take on a guy that can't field at this point in his career, can't steal bases. So, I mean, and how many AL teams are going to want to take him on, you know, where he, I mean, he hits a lot of home runs. He's obviously shown that, but at the same time, I don't know, he still has a ridiculous amount of money left. And as for the rest of the guys, I mean, Carlos Pena is a one-year deal. I don't really see him being moved. There's really no viable backup option at this point.
Right.
Aramis, you know, there's, you know, the team option for next year, which you assume they're going to not pick up. So I guess that could be an option, but I think that's going to be very difficult. So I think Dempster probably has the best, you know, trade value, him and Zambrano. But I mean, if you get rid of them, as we've seen this past month, those two guys have been the most consistent. So if you don't have them and you're still without Cashner and you're relying on guys like Doug Davis and Rodrigo Lopez, I mean, that's pretty risky.
I agree. And I, you know, Zambrano, who's 5-2 now and has pitched very well, I would assume that he could bring in some talent. I mean, because, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, is a horse, but you just worry about his, you know, you just worry about him snapping at any moment, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, he just turned 30 Wednesday, so, I mean, he clearly still has a lot of value.
Sure.
And, you know, that it's true. I mean, it was funny, before the game yesterday, he was giving the media tips on how to break a bat over your leg, which I'm sure Quadi wasn't happy to overhear that, since, you know, he specifically said after the game that he doesn't like him doing that and doesn't want him to do that because of, obviously, the possibility of an injury. But Quadi said that the two of them talked it out, and Zambrano, for his part, says that he doesn't plan on doing it again. Obviously, you know, but we'll see if that happens. But, I mean, it's hard. I mean, from what I've seen of Zambrano, he's definitely kind of reined in his emotions. I mean, he had every opportunity after not getting the win in his last start after Marmol's meltdown to completely get angry. I mean, it was probably arguably one of his best starts of the season. But after the game, you know, Marmol said that Zambrano came up to him and said, you know, don't worry about it. No one's perfect. So I think he's definitely shown signs that he's matured. And if that's the case, he's even worth a lot more than, you know, just his pitching intangibles.
Talking with Megan Matsumura. She covers baseball for both the Sox and Cubs for the Northwest Herald. Switching over to the South side, 3 straight wins at Fenway. Is this a sign the White Sox are trying to make their move here, Megan?
You would think so. I mean, they have a pretty favorable homestand coming up. They have 3 big games against the Tigers coming up this weekend, and then 3 against the Mariners and 4 against Oakland. So this is definitely an opportunity for them to try and push their way up, at least surpass the Tigers and try and get into second place. So it'll be interesting. And, you know, Guillen said that they're going to be sticking with the 6-man rotation for a little longer. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, at what point is that going to negatively impact the bullpen,
right?
Especially when you have kind of some shaky starts in Jackson and Danks. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how that shakes out and how long he's willing to stick with that kind of unconventional decision.
Has John Danks bought himself time with what he's done the last 2 years, but a 0-8 record and a 5.25 ERA, does he think about putting him in the bullpen or even just taking him to the minors for a few starts?
Well, the thing is, he's a lefty too, which right. The bullpen really doesn't need. If anyone heads to the bullpen, you would think it's a righty, because that's been the problem area. You have Crane, who's been outstanding for them. You have Santos as your closer, and then you're left with Pena, who Guillen has said all season that he's the linchpin in there. And he really has had very up and down performances, and I don't think is a guy that you can really rely on to come in a situation and get a key out. So with that being the case, you know, you would think it probably is going to come down to Edwin Jackson or Phil Umber, which you would think Umber, but he you could argue that he's been their best pitcher this season.
Megan Montemurro, Northwest Herald. Megan, I'm going to make you choose, Jeremy or me.
I don't know if you're going to like the outcome of that.
Oh, no. Okay.
I went to college with you.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Maybe, let's don't let you choose then. How about that?
All right, sounds good.
You did go with the Heat, though, which Jeremy agreed with. Are they going to win this thing?
Unfortunately, I think so, which is really depressing because they're like, if you're an actual basketball fan, there's no reason to like them because they don't really play basketball. And I don't know. I used to be a big LeBron fan, and now after this, he's a villain in my eyes. So,
Megan, thank you so much for the calling in today.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you, Megan. Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. She does a great job. Cubs and White Sox beat. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
And it's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Today we have had some interesting discussions about teams that you do not like. What team out there do you not like? And Kevin Wheeler from KMOX, is there one team in any sport in general you just can't stand?
You mean I have to pick one?
Give us a list.
All right. Well, I'm gonna just lump a few together. Most of them are in college sports. I think that's where most of the hated rivals come from.
Yes.
I'm gonna list the Florida Gators. Hate them. Hope they lose every game in every sport. I hate Ohio State, so I'm loving the Jim Tressel stuff. That's been pretty enjoyable. Used to hate Nebraska. But not so much anymore because the people that used to bug me are no longer there. But
there you go.
I say those are the big ones. I got to throw in Florida State too, but you can't tell I'm a Miami guy or anything.
Well, I was going to say, as a former catcher for the Miami Hurricanes, I'm sure that has nothing to do with it, right?
No, throw in Notre Dame too. By the way, hate those Domers.
Well, Kevin Wheeler, how in the world are the Cardinals doing this? I mean, I look at this team and I wonder to myself, all right, you got Daniel Descalso in the lineup, you've got Alan Craig in the lineup. How are they doing what they're doing?
Well, it's been a combination of things, guys. I mean, up until a couple of starts, up until, Kyle McClellan's start a couple of days ago, the one that he got hurt during, and up until Jaime Garcia's bad one in Colorado, the starting pitching had been pretty much dominant.
Yes.
I mean, Garcia had been unbeatable. Loesch and McClellan had crazy records. Jake Westbrook had a really good month of May. And, Chris Carpenter's numbers are not Carpenter-like. But really, they're skewed by three tough outings, and everything else has been pretty much what you would normally expect from him. So the starting pitching has been the key. And then, I can't ignore the offense. The offense has been the best in the National League, and it's really been a combination of everybody contributing. Nobody can get Daniel Descalso out from the eighth inning on in a close game. He'll get a hit almost every time. I think he's hitting like 450 late in games that are close. So with the kind of those kind of unique things with the regular guys like Berkman and Holiday producing and Jay and Craig killing the ball, but offensively it's been a real cliche team effort. But I'd say the overriding factor has been the starting rotation.
Kevin, we hear it all the time, and I hear it even from Cardinals fans that I know that Tony La Russa, oh, he's a genius, blah blah blah. You know what? I give Tony La Russa a lot of kudos for this because, as you know, Kevin, nobody pours over a lineup more than Tony La Russa. And I think he alone and Dave Duncan have done a really good job this year in keeping this team pieced together day in and day out.
Well, I mean, they do what they always do. And they're going to take the blame, especially the manager. The manager's going to take the blame when anything goes wrong. And, they're going to hopefully get credit when things go right, but it doesn't always work that way. I think everybody has been pretty respectful and pretty pretty straightforward in their respect for Dave Duncan. I don't hear anybody questioning him about too much. And we can't underestimate what he's meant to this team. And, his tutelage of guys like Kyle Loesch, who had always been inconsistent before he got to St. Louis. Now that you see when he's healthy here, he's unbelievable. You see the changes that have happened in Kyle McClellan being able to make the move into the rotation. It's pretty remarkable. And those guys, look, you don't stay around in one place if you don't know what you're doing. You don't win as many games or manage as many games or coach as many games as those guys have if you don't know what you're doing.
Talking with Kevin Wheeler from KMOX, talking some Cardinals. And we saw Kyle McClellan live on Monday, not the same pitcher. Was that all because of that hip injury? Was that the most that was bothering him?
I have to believe that.
Okay.
He and Tony La Russa, the team, have kind of hinted that it was probably bothering him or it led to something, but it had to. I don't know how much of it did, but it happened in the first inning. He said when he tweaked it, and if you're going through and trying to battle through that, that's that kind of injury. It's especially when it's your landing leg, and for Kyle, it's his left leg, so it's the hip that he lands on. it's almost impossible to execute pitches if you can't use your hips and you can't land properly. And you notice a lot of pitches were off. And I'd have to say that, you know, knowing a little bit about pitching mechanics, that's the first thing I would expect if somebody had a problem with their front leg, is they wouldn't be able to drive and they wouldn't be able to get into that rotation, you know, the rotation of the hips. And when they can't do that, you're going to be high.
And you figured the lineup would have taken a hit with Matt Holliday going to the DL with that quad injury. But Alan Craig has been unbelievable for the Cardinals. I've been saying he needs to be in the lineup every day, and it seems like Tony La Russa's getting that done.
Well, he's working at it. You know, they're using him at second base whenever they have to try to get that bat in there, and they're using him as often as they can. Same thing with John Jay. I mean, those guys have been tearing the cover off the ball, and it feels good to see it for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's nice to see the system produce young guys that can play cheap and play very well. But another thing is before they signed Lance Berkman, I'd even said, look, I'd be perfectly happy with Jay and Craig platooning in right field because I think they're both really good players. They're going to hit enough combined to make it worth our while. And well, you're seeing that now. And we know that things can change over a long season, but they're a huge part of why this team is in first place.
Kevin Wheeler from KMOX and also the Cardinals broadcast team does a great job leading in and out of Cardinals baseball. And, Kevin, summarize a little bit the meeting that Jaime Garcia and Tony La Russa had. I know Jaime's last outing was not good, and a lot of people wondered if Tony kept him out there too long. But Tony had reasons for that, right?
Well, yeah, and we've seen those reasons here in the last couple of nights because the bullpen's been getting too much work lately. You know, for a long stretch there, the Cardinals starters were going really deep into games. They were going 6, 7, 8 innings. In fact, I think they had like 4 or 5 straight starts where the starter went 7 innings or more. And then ever since then, the starter had been going 3 and 4 and 5, and you had, like last night, an extra inning game. And you cannot afford in that situation to burn out the bullpen. So what you end up having to do, guys, is, and nobody likes this. Fans hate it. You know, I don't know about every guy who covered the game, but you understand it a little bit more if you're up in the press box or if you're just getting to talk to Tony La Russa face to face from time to time. Sometimes you just have to accept that you're going to lose that game.
Yep.
And make decisions based on the next one that you have a chance to win, which is the day after. So if you pull Garcia out in the second or third inning, well, you got to go through everybody in your bullpen then. And then you have nothing left for the next day. And you didn't have a lot of flexibility with guys you're willing to send back down or bring back up. So it was definitely hard. Tony even said, look, he felt terrible about it. They didn't want to do it, but they felt like they had no other choice. Otherwise, you're going to burn everybody out, and you might take a chance on losing the next game because you went to the bullpen too early the day before.
Sure. Is that kind of the same thought when you put Ryan Franklin out there in the 11th inning? At least get him trying to, you know, he had some good outings, and then get him out there, try to get him another win, another scoreless inning where he pitches a couple innings?
That's exactly what Tony said today, that, okay, you know, they didn't want to have to run Ryan out there for another inning because he had a good first inning, and that would have meant really 3 consecutive strong outings and building that confidence up. But they didn't have any other choice.
Right.
The only guys they had available after Ryan Franklin yesterday were the 2 left-handers, and they'd been used a few times in the previous games too. And if you had used them extensively last night, you may not have them for tonight, or you may have them in a diminished capacity for tonight. So they've been playing a lot of those games. And I don't know if you guys have watched some other teams have had the same situation come up as far as leaving a guy out there a little bit. You probably saw Vin Mazzaro of the Royals take an absolute thrashing a couple of weeks ago before being sent down to the minor leagues. He gave up, what was it, like 14 runs in 2 or 3 innings because they just basically said, look, we got to have somebody out there to take this beating. Ricky Nolasco of the Marlins. In fact, the day after it happened to Jaime Garcia, it might even have been the same night that it happened to Garcia, Ricky Nolasco went out and they let him run up 11 or 12 runs in 3 or 4 or even 5 innings because they needed that. They needed to get that out of there. And there have been a couple other cases like that, too. And it's at this time of year, guys, when the weather's heating up and you've used your bullpen a little bit, that you have to sometimes have a guy take one for the team. And it's hard on them. It's not fair, but it's baseball.
It happens. That's right. And I'm not passing tonight's game with the Giants. But we've got the Cubbies coming to town this weekend, Kevin. That's always fun, isn't it?
Well, no question about that. I mean, you know, it's the old school rivalry. It's the, you know, the long term, you know, team to the north that you've always battled with, and you've got kind of a, you know, you always have a sea of blue here at Busch Stadium and a sea of red up at Wrigley Field. There's a good mix in the crowd, and I think that makes it a lot of fun. It may not be as heated as the rivalry with the Reds. You know, it might not be as I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right word.
Yeah, cantankerous right now.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that with the Brewers too from the past couple of years. But you know, the Cubs and Cardinals is classic. You know, I think that would be the more difference. I think the Reds rivalry right now is more heated, but the Cubs one is the classic.
Wrapping up with Kevin Wheeler from KMOX and the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast team. Kevin, we got to bring this up as you're a former catcher in college. What about this Buster Posey and all? You know, he gets hurt and getting run over at the plate. What's your take on people coming out and saying the rule needs to change about that?
Well, I'm in agreement with change being necessary. I'm just not sure whether there's a new rule that's necessary, because it is illegal for a catcher to block home plate before they have the ball. That's against the rules. The problem is the umpires never enforce that rule. The rule is if you're in the base path and you don't have the ball, you have to make way for the runner or he is safe. That's the rule at first, second, third, and home. If umpires enforce that rule, you'd have a lot less of these collisions. And I'd like to add one other little caveat to that, guys, is that if the catcher has the ball before you get there, you can't just run him over trying to be safe. You can't do it at third base. You can't do it at second base. There's no logical reason why you should be allowed to do it at home plate. I know the old school guys say it's always been that way, and there's no reason to change it because it's part of the game. Well, you know what? Beanballs used to be a part of the game, too, and they took that out for player safety, and I don't see how this is any different than that.
And I agree with Billy Bean, you know, coming out saying, hey, my catcher, I told him not to do it. Yeah. It's not worth it.
Hey, the Cardinals teach their catchers not to block the plate. I teach my catchers. I'm a catching instructor, too. I teach all of my guys, stay out of the line until you have the ball. Because, first of all, you can't catch the ball if you're sitting on your butt. You know, you don't want to, you want to be give yourself the chance to make the play. Plus, if you show the runner the plate, they're more likely to go straight to the plate, which gives you a better chance at tagging them out if you get the ball.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, Kevin, I mean, you would know that, of course, from being behind the plates. Hey, I can't let you go real quick. You said you didn't like Ohio State. What do you think? What do you think of this whole situation that's going on? I mean, this is crazy.
It is, but you know what? I think this just proves to everybody that you cannot place winning before following the rules. Hmm. And honestly, guys, the coach has to be held to a different standard than everybody else. Hmm. And I think what makes it somewhat sweet to get a little chuckle at Jim Tressel's expenses. Here's a guy that holds himself up as a standard bearer, writes books about how to lead your life as a winner, and comes up with all these cliche sayings that discipline is about what you do when nobody's looking. Well, what did Jim Tressel do when nobody was looking? He took evidence that he knew his players were committing violations,
correct,
and he didn't tell anybody.
Yep.
He was contractually obligated to tell his boss, to tell the school, and then they would be obligated to report to the NCAA, but he didn't. And the only reason he didn't, in my opinion, is because it involved his star quarterback.
Yep.
And if that was the fourth-string quarterback, the kid probably gets kicked off the team.
That's exactly right. Well, Kevin Wheeler, we are going to hear you again on our airwaves very soon. I think 6:20 is the pregame. I assume you're running that show, right?
And you assume correctly, sir.
All right. Kevin Wheeler, KMOX, Cardinals broadcast team. Kevin, you always do a fabulous job, and I love having you on. So thanks again for joining us.
You got it anytime, guys.
All right. Kevin Wheeler, he does a great job. And as a former college catcher with the Miami Hurricanes, interesting what he said about that. And as he said, he teaches his catchers, too, not to block the plate.
And I agree with him in that the old school players, I understand. Running over, it's a glamorous play in the major leagues. But at the same time, what's the point of it?
Yeah.
I mean, really, anymore, what's the point of it? Pete Rose ended a career.
Yes, Ray Fossey from Marion, Illinois.
And it was
that's
an
all-star. Exactly right.
You know, you end a career doing that. Buster Posey, a bright star. We don't know what this does to his career.
Yes.
So I agree with that. I mean, there's no point to it. I don't know how they're going to change it. I just think they've got to enforce the rule on catchers. I think it's just a teaching point.
Yep.
For a lot of guys in the major leagues, the minor leagues say, hey, there's no point to doing it. So don't block the plate. You know, you're not less of a man if you don't do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. All right, we're still here for a little bit. If you want to call up with your most hated team or your most disliked, or if you're Kathy and you just don't like sports in general. What was that all about?
Come on,
Kathy.
And then we had somebody didn't like the Illinois team either.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was Tia.
Tia from Champaign didn't like the Illini.
Come on. Oh, well. But you can call us 359-2255.
We'll also have an Illinois golf update moving up a little bit.
Really? You're teasing me now. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.